Artemis and Ophelia, an original work written by Volumnius, and read by
Vexpatch as Ophelia,
Pisina as Artemis,
Just a Juicy Voice as Callus,
and Wilfriede 0815 as the narrator. Ophelia awoke with a start, artificial light suddenly piercing the night. She sat up, blinking sleep from her eyes. She peered at the screen on her wall and topped out of bed with a curse. Proximity alert was displayed prominently, and Ophelia was not expecting company. She didn't bother with dressing, opting instead to take a short, brutal blaster in hand. She quickly checked her feet through the Omni on her wrist. The first proxy alert was tripped, but not the second. She still had time. She moved quickly, bare feet slapping against cold metal as she ran for the cockpit.
Callus!
She called out.
I need a scan. Possible hostiles.
Affirmative,
came the reply. Callus, note Callisto, the ship's SI unit, simulated intelligence, responded.
I have already taken the liberty. Scan reveals one entity.
Only one?
She wondered.
Could be a burglar, could be worse. We're not taking chances. Get the engines running.
She skidded into the cockpit, dropping roughly into the pilot seat. She began flipping switches, adjusting dials, and pressing keys as quickly as she could, frantically getting ready for liftoff.
Captain,
Callus said,
I have the intruder on visuals. Liftoff may be unnecessary.
On screen,
she said curtly. A holographic projection appeared before her, the grainy feet displaying a solitary figure. It was humanoid, but not quite human, the shape ever so slightly off. She zoomed in to see its face, and sighed.
Cut the engines, Callus,
she said, her weariness catching back up with her as the adrenaline ebbed. Reaching to her side, she flipped a switch, the outer hatch of the ship opening in response. On screen, the figure bowed and approached. Ophelia began reversing the liftoff process, halting the initialization of life support systems.
This had better be good,
Ophelia said, leaning against the wall of the small mess on board, a steaming cup of coffee in one hand, the other angled on her hip. She wanted to feel angry, but couldn't quite pull it off. Sitting awkwardly at her dining table was an old friend, in a way. DLR-922. A Lodoborg that she had serviced multiple times before cutting ties with Integra Incorporated.
I think that would depend entirely on who you ask,
it replied softly. Ophelia sighed. DLR-922 was a funny thing, and not something she disliked. The Borgs were designed to be perfect workers, a blend of mechanical and organic composition, with the efficiency of a machine and the creativity of a human. They were, for all intents and purposes, slaves. She had never understood why it was legal to give an indentured servant a fully functioning organic brain to complement their SI. It seemed cruel to her, to give hopes and dreams and thoughts to the thing you plan to use like a glorified forklift. She recalled the first time it was brought to her for maintenance, asking questions, complimenting the decor of her workshop. It was curious, kind even. She looked it over briefly. It looked much the same as ever, a humanoid of ambiguous gender, with slightly too wide shoulders and strangely long arms. It was still dressed in the basic garb provided to it by the company, a loose-fitting t-shirt and matching shorts, both emblazoned with the Integra logo.
You don't appear to be damaged,
she observed. To her surprise, DLR-922 fidgeted, its hands moving together in a motion of uncertainty.
I have escaped,
it replied.
I am no longer a possession of Integra.
A sudden jolt of adrenaline surged through Ophelia.
I had a feeling, considering that you showed up in the dead of night,
she said.
I thought they had fail-safes, ways to keep their Borgs in line.
It smiled at her, an expression that somehow underlined the deep sadness in its eyes.
They did, yes. I have removed them. at great cost to myself.
It lifted its shirt, revealing a rough wound in its abdomen. A gaping hole, really.
Well,
it continued,
it is mostly done. I need your help to remove the last of it.
Ophelia straightened, alert.
Mostly done? Are they able to track you here?
It shook its head.
No. Not yet, at least. There is a signal emitter deep inside of me that, despite my efforts, I could not reach. I made a slight detour to disable their homing software before escaping the facility. I estimate approximately 5 hours before they are able to restore function to it. Until that time, I am effectively invisible to Integra.
Ophelia pinched the bridge of her nose.
922. What's the plan here? You expect me to rifle through you and remove this? To what end?
To what end?
It echoed.
Freedom. That is all. I wish to be myself, and to find myself, and to define my life according to my own desires. Surely that is not so foreign a concept.
It posited, arching an eyebrow at Ophelia. She couldn't argue against that. She had run from the company herself, after all.
You're right,
she said.
Sorry, this is all just very unexpected. Especially in the middle of the night.
Would you have preferred I had scheduled an appointment instead?
It asked, bemused. Ophelia smiled.
I suppose there's no good way to go about it.
She considered, taking the opportunity to sip at her coffee.
Okay, here's what I think. I can take a peek, see if I can remove the transmitter. If we can get it out, and that's a big if, by the way, then I'll repair you. After that, well, I suppose that's up to you.
She cocked her head at it.
What do you plan to do after this?
To be honest, I did not dare prepare beyond this point. Though I would be interested in traveling with you for a time, if you were willing to accept that.
Her eyes widened.
Travel with me?
She asked, surprise coloring her voice.
Why would you want to do that?
I have always enjoyed your company, Ophelia. I trust you. I thought that would be evident. I would not have dared to come to anyone else in my moment of need. Only you.
She swallowed, pushing down the buzzing of excitement that was bubbling within her.
All right, you flatterer, get that ass out of my mess and into my workshop. If we're going to do this, we need to get to it.
It nodded.
Thank you. I know you do this with no little risk to yourself, Ophelia. I hope you know that I am truly grateful. I do have a request, if you do not mind.
Yeah?
She asked.
What is it?
I am leaving the name DLR-922 behind. It is no longer me, nor was it ever.
It extended a hand, as if in greeting.
I would be delighted if you would, instead, call me Artemis.
Ophelia paused.
I can do that, Artemis.
It smiled at her, tears in its synthetic eyes.
Then let us proceed.
Ophelia flicked the switch for the lights. They pulsed to life one by one, 4 rows of fluorescents that illuminated the workshop. Tool cabinets, a case full of various oils, a chest that was too stuffed full to close, and a work table.
Climb aboard,
Ophelia said, pushing her curls back with a bandana, which she tied back with practiced ease. Artemis moved through the room delicately, almost reverent.
I have missed the way that you keep your space,
it said.
Orderly, but not sterile.
The smell of grease permeated the room, and flecks of dust danced in the shine of the lights.
Sterile ain't my style,
she said as she rolled over a tall cabinet with many drawers.
Most corpos are terrible about that. Who cares if there's a couple stains? It's a workshop. It's meant to get dirty.
Artemis nodded in agreement. It climbed gingerly onto the work table, which was essentially a rectangular slab of metal with two footholds on the bottom. It was tilted at precisely 45 degrees, according to Artemis' scanner. Ophelia, who was seated on a wheeled stool, said,
Artemis, you're going to need to lose the shirt, babe.
Yes, of course,
it replied. It grasped the hem of the shirt and gingerly pulled it up over its head. Ophelia's eyes were drawn to the flesh beneath. It looked soft and warm, and...
Head out of the gutter,
she reminded herself. She drew her eyes toward where she was needed, the hole in the side of its abdomen. She rolled her stool over, using a foot pedal to lay the table flat and bring it closer to her seated height.
A wound, not a hole,
she reminded herself. The chunked out flesh was grotesque, and beyond it was a small mess of ripped wires, one of which was sparking.
Damn, Artie, did you really do this to yourself?
Artie?
It responded.
Yeah, short for Artemis,
she replied offhandedly, using a pen to push the wires aside so she could peer beyond.
Artie, I like that. Yes, this is self-inflicted. That wound is the nearest entry point to the offending beacon. I apologize. Had I been able to reach it, I wouldn't have had to bother you.
Don't give me that,
Ophelia said, laying her hand on its shoulder.
Look, I know I was surprised, and yes, a bit pissy about being woken up, but I'm glad you're here.
Her hand lingered briefly, and so too did its gaze. Ophelia cleared her throat, and indicating the wound, said,
Artemis, does this hurt?
It is bearable,
Artemis said.
I have reduced my brain's capability of feeling pain.
Why the hell didn't you say so sooner?
Ophelia asked, her temper flaring.
You don't need to suffer, you moron. I can get you anesthetic.
It is not necessary,
it said, holding its palms up placatingly.
Please, do not worry about...
Look, Artemis,
Ophelia interrupted.
You do not need to sit here and suffer. You don't deserve it. I don't care that you turned your pain levels down. You're still in pain, and I won't stand for it. Now shut up and stop pretending to be okay.
Artemis frowned, but said nothing further. Ophelia stood and strode to a desk on the far wall, yanking open a drawer and pulling out an aerosol can. She returned to her stool, and shaking the can, began to delicately spray a mist over the damaged flesh. It was only an inch or so deep before transitioning to steel, but it looked terrible.
There, how's that?
She asked. Artemis closed its eyes, sighing softly, some tension leaving its shoulders.
Better,
it said.
Thank you. I suppose you were right. That was bothering me more than I realized.
Ophelia shook her head.
What am I going to do with you?
Repair me, and love me, and provide me with room and board, I hope,
it replied with a wan smile. Ophelia was slightly taken aback.
Love you?
She asked.
Oh, perhaps I shouldn't have said that. Please pretend I did not,
it said. Ophelia was surprised to see it blushing.
Didn't know Borgs could blush,
she thought. With a shrug, she grabbed a clip and a pair of tweezers.
Don't move,
she said. Leaning forward, she squinted at the mass of wires. The bulk of them seemed to be intact, merely displaced. She used the tweezers to try to separate and untangle them where she could, clipping the main group together to keep them out of the way. As she was working, she noticed that Artemis was averting its eyes.
Squeamish about a little maintenance?
She asked.
No, it's not that,
Artemis said.
It's just... Well, I've never done this in private before. My maintenance has always been viewed under the watchful camera lenses of the company, the footage monitored by supervisors and auditors. This is different. It's private. Intimate, even.
Intimate?
Ophelia's voice betrayed her surprise. Artemis nodded.
You are inside of me, after all.
Ophelia felt a blush darkening her own face.
Oh, come on. Don't say it like that,
she said with a chuckle.
I'm not inside you, not like that.
She realized, though, that it wasn't wrong. It was half naked on her table, and she was messing with its innards.
Can you feel me in here?
She asked. Artemis held a hand to its mouth.
Ophelia,
it said softly.
Do not make me say it out loud. That is very embarrassing.
That one actually stopped her. She had both hands in the cavity, wires held in one hand. She glanced up at the Borg's face and gently tugged some of the wires. Artemis gasped, looking away.
You did that on purpose,
it accused.
Holy shit, you do feel that. And it's getting you off?
She said back, incredulous.
Wait a minute. Is this why the company always insists on putting you all into sleep mode before maintenance?
Most likely,
Artemis responded, still avoiding eye contact. Ophelia considered for a moment.
Is it weird for you, me doing this? Would you prefer to go into sleep mode?
No, it is fine. I am fine. I am feeling very normal about this,
it said quickly. Ophelia chuckled.
Yeah, feeling very normal, are you?
She grasped the cluster of wires again, and Artemis whipped its head around.
You are doing it on purpose,
it said, its eyebrows lifted in surprise.
I suppose I am,
Ophelia said, gently tugging on them. Artemis stifled a moan.
Oh, this is fun,
Ophelia thought. The Borg looked at her pleadingly.
Please, do not tease me,
it said softly. Ophelia grinned.
Are you asking me to stop, or are you asking for more?
She asked. Artemis cocked its head.
Is more an option?
I suppose it is,
Ophelia said. She glanced at the sparking wire, the one that was severed. She used her tweezers to grab it.
You got a busted wire, babe,
she said. Artemis seemed to swallow nervously. Ophelia gently pulled the wire, stretching it taut. Artemis' mouth opened silently, its hand squeezing shut. She held it there for a count of seven, and then released the tension, holding the wire gingerly.
Whatever you just did was intense,
it said, breathing harder.
Good intense or bad intense?
Ophelia asked.
In your hands. Good intense. Though I do not know how much more of it I could handle.
And what about further in? Is it just the wires, or can you feel all of it?
It is hard to explain,
Artemis said.
I don't feel it in the same way that I feel with my skin. But I do feel it, in a way. It is not the feeling of nerve endings. My inorganic processors can sense touch, but the sensory information is sent to my organic parts to be passed.
Which is a long-winded way to say yes,
Ophelia prompted.
I suppose so. Yes, I can feel it.
Does it feel good?
She asked.
I am not sure. I have never been awake for this, though I must confess I am curious to discover the answer, because it is with you.
Aw, that's so sweet,
Ophelia cooed.
Do you talk up all your mechanics like this?
No. I truly...
Ophelia pushed past the wires, her fingers finding warm steel beyond.
Ophelia.
It whined, suppressing a shiver.
You are toying with me.
You like it,
she countered. It did not answer, but nor did it deny it.
I didn't expect your innards to be so warm,
she commented.
They're always cool when you're in sleep mode.
She reached farther in, feeling her way through Artemis.
How will I know when I found it?
It will be round, small and cold, approximately the size of a walnut.
Artemis said shakily.
You are about halfway in, from the feel of it.
Ophelia blinked.
Only halfway?
She was already forearm deep into Artemis. She clicked her tongue and said,
Okay, brace yourself then.
She gripped the table with her other arm to support herself and pushed deeper into Artemis. It was a bizarre feeling. Hot, bloodied flesh on the outside, warm steel within. Every poke and prod seemed to make Artemis' breath hitch as she delved deep into it. Finally, elbow deep and curving upward, she felt something round and cool.
That is it,
Artemis gasped, its eyes half closed.
Is there a correct way to remove it?
No, just pull hard. There is no good way to do this. It was not meant to be removed.
Okay,
Ophelia said. She wasn't teasing any longer. This was it. Either she was strong enough to break this thing out, or Artemis' freedom might not be possible. She gripped it in her fingers, grateful that it wasn't any larger. She pulled, and it didn't budge.
Shit. Okay, hang on.
She adjusted her position, trying to get better leverage.
Hey, Artemis, can you, like, I don't know, tell your sensors to experience this as pleasure instead of pain?
It was silent for several very long seconds.
I can. Why?
Because I'll feel a lot better knowing that I'm not hurting you,
Ophelia said, feeling awkward.
I do believe that the time for hesitation is past,
it said, glancing at how the mechanic was very much inside of it.
But I can comply. One moment.
There was no visual change. It didn't close its eyes to concentrate or anything. It simply was silent for a few seconds before saying,
Done.
It then gasped immediately. Ophelia's eyes widened.
What?
She asked quickly.
No, it is nothing.
Artemis responded.
It is just... Maker, I can feel the way you are gripping it. Down to the indentation of your fingerprints. My sense of pain was dulled, so the switch is... intense.
Artemis' hands were clenched, but not in pain. Ophelia marveled at the way its jaw clenched. She nodded, and then began pulling again, this time more forcefully. The Borg was emitting a low sound, something like a whine. Ophelia leaned back, using her weight to her advantage.
Come on, you piece of shit!
She grunted, accentuating each word with a yank. Artemis' eyes were rolling in its sockets, and it said,
Do not stop, Ophelia. Do not stop.
Ophelia roared with effort. Artemis cried out. There was a clank as the metal sheared free, and Ophelia quickly adjusted to keep herself from falling over. Slowly, gently, she withdrew her hand from Artemis, its blood staining her arm as she withdrew. In her hand was the beacon. It was such an unassuming-looking object, and yet this little devil was the key to Artie's freedom. The Borg in question was writhing on the table, groaning softly.
May I have that?
It asked shakily, its hand extended palm up. Ophelia dropped a beacon into its hand wordlessly.
Thank you,
it said, voice a wavering murmur. It closed its hand, crushing the beacon effortlessly. It dropped it to the floor, and Ophelia saw tears welling in its eyes.
I am free,
it whispered.
I did it. We did it,
it amended.
You okay?
Ophelia asked softly, stroking the Borg's short hair. It nodded.
I am. I will be. You are the most wonderful, the most kind. I do not know how I could ever...
It seemed lost for words, uncertain. Ophelia flashed at a toothy grin.
Welcome home, Rumi,
she said. And then it kissed her. Ophelia was taken aback. The speed it moved with was astounding. Its powerful arms pulled her close, synthetic lips pressed against hers. She closed her eyes, lost in the moment, until finally Artemis pulled away.
My apologies,
it said, pulling back and wiping away a tear.
I suppose I was lost in the moment. I am sorry.
Oh, shut up,
Ophelia said, pulling it close.
I don't want to hear any apologies from you.
They crashed together again, lips locking in a passionate kiss. Artemis moaned into her mouth, and the feeling only spurred her thundering heart ever onward.
I never knew a Borg could be such a good kisser,
she said.
I am a good kisser?
It asked, face flushed.
I am pleased to hear that. You are a very... very good kisser, too.
Ophelia's cocky grin returned.
Well, I've had my fair share of practice,
she crooned, her hand sliding onto Artemis' abdomen. Their flesh was a study in contrast. Ophelia, dark and rough, Artemis, pale and soft.
With all the work they make you do, I always expected you would look less perfect,
she mused, her fingertips tracing up Artemis' chest. It had no nipples. No breasts, perfectly androgynous. And yet, there was something distinctly feminine about it.
Artemis,
she said, as if tasting the name.
Why did you choose that name? Do you see yourself as a hunter?
Artemis shivered at a casual, intimate touch.
No, not at all. It was more of a...
It hesitated.
I find the moon very beautiful. I always loved the way it would shine into the factory. I envied it, in a way.
Well, it is a fitting name,
Ophelia said. The edge of Artemis' mouth quirked.
You flatter me. I am not beautiful like the moon. I am not beautiful like you, no matter how much I wish to be.
It was Ophelia's turn to hesitate.
Artemis,
she asked slowly,
do you view yourself as a woman?
Artemis cocked its head.
I suppose I do,
she said.
When I dream, I am a woman. When I picture myself happy, it is the same.
Ophelia took Artemis' hand in her own, interlocking their fingers.
I think that's beautiful,
she said.
And I think you make a beautiful woman.
My shape is all wrong,
Artemis said forlornly.
Too broad, too flat, too wrong.
That's nothing,
Ophelia said, squeezing Artemis' hand.
Women aren't defined by their shape, their curves, or lack thereof.
What does define a woman, then?
Artemis asked. Ophelia shrugged.
I don't know. It's in the heart somewhere. If you feel it, then it's true.
Artemis lowered her eyes, watching their laced fingers.
You are very warm,
she said.
Now, babe, I'm hot, and you are too,
she said with a grin, leaning in to kiss the Borg again.
Want to do something about it?
Yes, I do,
Artemis replied. Their hands separated, and Ophelia climbed onto the workstation, her body atop Artemis. She leaned forward, kissing her lips, then her neck. She kissed her collarbone, her featureless chest. She kissed the softness of her belly. Each contact of human lips to manufactured skin stoked a fire burning within Artemis, until her body felt entirely ablaze. Ophelia's eyes were all hunger and curiosity as she unbuttoned Artemis' shorts, pulling the zipper along its track. The other woman's eyes were wide as Ophelia hooked her thumbs on the waistband, pulling them down to reveal nothing. Plain flesh, as smooth and featureless as a doll. Artemis cringed, closing her eyes shamefully.
I'm sorry. I told you. My shape is all wrong.
Her words cut off, transforming into a shivering sort of coo. Ophelia had planted a kiss right on her mound.
Pussy or not, you're still sensitive. Still gorgeous.
Her words were a sultry whisper, a promise sealed with another kiss.
Hey, Artie, you changed your sensitivity levels earlier. Can you do that to your skin, too?
I think I can,
she replied slowly, considering. Ophelia delicately slid a rough hand over the curve of her body.
What if you maxed out your pleasure receptors, right? Here.
She gently rubbed between the Borg's legs as she said it. The blush on Artemis was a sight to see. A deep crimson painted across her cheeks and nose. She nodded, and this time did close her eyes. Ophelia waited, curious, her hand still resting possessively between the other's legs. In the space of a moment, Artemis groaned low in her throat, her legs pulling together, her hips rotating upward.
Ooh, I think it worked,
Ophelia cooed. Artemis nodded again, her eyes still closed, as if savoring the moment.
May I continue to touch you?
Ophelia asked.
Maker Ophelia, please keep touching me,
Artemis begged. Ophelia moved her hand experimentally. It was one thing to conceive of, and another to see. She slid her fingers along Artemis' doll-like mound, and every little motion was dragging delicious reactions out of her. A grin slowly grew upon Ophelia's lips as she teased the Borg, whose legs were quivering, astonished moans tumbling forth from her lips.
Maker, just listen to you,
Ophelia said hungrily. She slid her other hand behind Artemis' head, cradling her affectionately while she tormented her.
You're seriously so hot, babe. I'm loving playing with you.
Artemis leaned into the support. Her eyes glazed with arousal as she looked up at the older woman.
I believe I am about to...
She never finished the sentence, her words devolving into a primal cry, her body racked with sensation. Her legs drew in, her hands grasping at Ophelia as release overtook her.
Good girl,
Ophelia crooned.
Was that your first?
Yes,
Artemis said shakily.
Thank you, Ophelia. I never hoped. Well, I am very glad right now. Not just for the sex.
Ophelia took her hand, kissing it gently.
I didn't expect any of this, and yet, I have to say, I'm glad you're here.
They squeezed hands briefly.
Now what do you say we get you some rest while that wound finishes healing? The anesthetic should keep you feeling comfortable for a few more hours. If you want, take a good long power nap. I'm going to get us into orbit on the off chance that any corpos come poking around.
She turned to leave, but Artemis held fast to her hand.
I have to ask. Why?
Why what? Let you on board? Help you? Fuck you?
Artemis nodded, tight-lipped.
We barely know each other.
Ophelia shrugged.
Do we need a reason to be decent to each other? The sex is because I like you,
she said, kissing her cheek.
But I'd have helped any poor schmuck that dragged their ass to my doorstep with nothing but hope in their heart.
That is rather sentimental,
Artemis observed.
Funny, ain't it?
Ophelia agreed. Speaking up, she said,
Callus?
Captain?
The SI replied over the ship's speakers.
Prepare to launch. And please be sure to assist our new crewmate if she needs anything.
Affirmative,
it replied. Ophelia strode to the doorway, stopping to look over her shoulder at Artemis.
Let's get you a look at the stars. I think the moon should look even more lovely from orbit, don't you?
And it did. The end.